We're going to turn now to another war. This one involves African-American soldiers and their role defending the Union during the Civil War era. We decided to take a road trip to the African-American Civil War Memorial and to the African-American Civil War Museum, both located in the U Street area of Washington, D.C. At the memorial, we caught up with Harry Jones, the assistant director at the museum, and we talked first about the name of the statue and its history.
Our statue is called the Spirit of Freedom. The artist is Ed Hamilton out of Louisville, Kentucky. And we dedicated this statue July 18th, 1998.
Now, we have a centerpiece where we have soldiers with their rifles or with their guns.
That is the statue of the Spirit of Freedom. And on the wall behind the statue is where we have the 209,145 names of all the soldiers that were officially brought into an organization called the Bureau of United States Colored Troops, a separate bureau of the U.S. Army created in May of 1863 to accommodate soldiers of African descent.
Now, we have a wall with names etched on them, similar to what people might associate with the Vietnam Memorial.
Correct. That's correct. And we get all of our names from official service records that can be found at the National Archives. So every name on our wall is backed by a paper trail.
So how many soldiers in all? Was this it, or were there soldiers, I guess you wouldn't call them soldiers, but people in the Navy as well? Or?
Yes, now on our statue we have a sailor, but we don't have any sailors' names on our wall of honor because the U.S. Navy during the Civil War was integrated, making it very difficult to identify all the men of African descent that would have served in the U.S. Navy during the Civil War. We do know from reports from naval officers after the war that 25% of the Federal Navy was comprised of men of African descent.
25%?
25%.
Wow.
In an integrated Navy.
The Navy was integrated,
yes.
But the Army was not.
That's correct.
And what areas of the country were these troops from?
The vast majority of them came from the southern states, with Louisiana having the highest representation, Kentucky second, Tennessee third, and Mississippi fourth. So it's mostly out of the south. Ohio has a large number as far as the northern states. Ohio has the largest number of African Americans that serve
out of
the northern states.
We are speaking with Harry Jones, the assistant director of the African American Civil War Museum here in Washington, D.C. If you don't mind, let's go and head on over to the museum.
Let's go.
So now here we are in the museum.
Yes.
Fast walk. But there are an incredible number of pictures here on the walls. And I want to start out with one. It says, "Come and join us, brothers." And we see several African-Americans in uniform. And what is this one all about?
That is a recruiting poster from Philadelphia. And this recruiting poster tells you where you can go and enlist.
Mm-hmm.
Recruiting actively begins in the North after the Emancipation Proclamation. And Philadelphia became a major recruiting depot, like Baltimore in Maryland. Both of those spots in the North are some of the most prolific recruiting cities for United States colored troops.
Well, tell me a little bit about the legal progression here of African Americans in the Army. I understand it was illegal at first for them to participate.
When the Civil War began, it was illegal. The Congress in 1792 had passed a militia act that banned the enlistment of men of African descent into the Federal Army. It wasn't until after McClellan's defeat in the Peninsula Campaign that Congress, appreciating the fact that the Federal Army needed help, passed the Militia Act of 1862 that gave President Lincoln the authority to recruit men of African descent into the Federal Army.
Mm-hmm.
President Lincoln does not act on that authority immediately, however. His Secretary of State, William Seward, out of New York, advised him not to act on the authority immediately because if he did, it would be clear that the government was, quote, crying out for help.
Mm-hmm.
So what President Lincoln decided to do was to wait until he could claim a victory on the battlefield so that he could mask his cry for help.
And what was that battle?
The Battle of Antietam, More federal soldiers were actually killed in that battle on September 17, 1862, than Confederate soldiers. But the Confederates withdrew from the battlefield, so the federal army claimed victory, and 5 days later, President Lincoln publishes the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, where he warns the 10 states in rebellion, if you don't lay down your arms and come back into the Union by January 1, all persons held as slaves in your states will be declared forever free. Well, the rebels do not believe they are losing the war. In fact, they call the Battle of Antietam the Battle of Sharpsburg and a draw, not a defeat. But to the Northern public, President Lincoln appears to be acting from a position of strength, not weakness, and on January 1, 1863, declares forever free all persons held as slaves in the 10 states that do not accept him as president.
So nobody's really free.
The law is not enforced in those states because those states do not accept federal authority. So an executive order from Washington isn't recognized by the governors of those states. The only way anyone is going to be set free in those states is that those states are forcibly brought back into the Union. And the Emancipation Proclamation is ultimately an agreement that the president makes with men of African descent, that if you come into the federal army and help overthrow the 10 state governments in rebellion, then and only then are all persons held as slaves in those states forever free.
All right. And I understand you have a favorite photo in the whole collection.
Yes, no, a print from Harper's Weekly.
Okay. And what is this photo? And why is it your favorite?
This print is of the Federal Army entering Richmond, Virginia on April 3rd, 1865. You can see in the print clearly that the men in federal uniform are men of African descent. Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy, was captured by the 25th Army Corps. Every regiment in the 25th Army Corps was a United States Colored Troop regiment. General Grant assigned an Army Corps comprised of only United States Colored Troops to capture Richmond, making it an indisputable historical fact that American soldiers of African descent captured and occupied the capital of the Confederacy. Well reported in the newspapers of that day, but rarely reported in books of this day.
Mm-hmm. So it was former slaves or who took over the capital of the Confederacy.
In fact, in this particular print, you have Chaplain Garland White. Chaplain Garland White was born enslaved in Richmond, Virginia, sold to a Georgia senator, escapes via the Underground Railroad to Canada, returns to the United States, becomes a recruiter for the 28th United States Colored Troops while a pastor in the AME Church, becomes a private in the regiment, and then he is promoted to major and becomes the chaplain of the regiment. And on the morning of April 3rd, 1865, he is selected to lead the regiment into Richmond. And when he's marching down Main Street that early morning, an elderly woman spotted him. She goes to a Union soldier and asks, "Who is that young man leading those soldiers? He looks like my young Garland." That was Garland White's mother.
What
his
an
homecoming,
incredible story.
His reunion on the day he leads the liberating force into Richmond.
Incredible. Incredible. Let's talk a little bit about the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth. Juneteenth is observed, really, as the African-American Emancipation Day in some circles.
You know, and I think that's appropriate if we understand why it's the Emancipation Day. When we understand that with the proclamation, no one is set free simply because President Lincoln signed it.
So it was kind of a graduated installment, I guess, of freedom.
Yes, I would actually say it is freedom won on the battlefield. You have to conquer, literally, the state government in order to be free. If the Texas state government had not been conquered, then there would be no June 19th.
All right, so it was colored troops that had a lot to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Colored troops are critical in the Civil War, period. Their story has been one of the best-kept secrets in American history. But they are critical. And when you track the fall of these various states, colored troops are playing critical roles in every one of those states, whether it's soldiers on the front line or whether it's spies, scouts, or guides, saboteurs, counter-guerrilla, guerrilla activities. They are critical in the Union war effort.
So why do you think the common perception is so different, particularly about Juneteenth?
Concerted effort in the early to mid-20th century to suppress the story. We see it very clearly in the behavior of the War Department, now, of course, Department of Defense, in a lot of their official material, even films, where they will tell stories of African-American soldiers in American history, but leave everything about the Civil War out of the film on African-American soldiers.
We're here at the museum now, but there is a significant date in addition to Juneteenth happening for the memorial itself about a month away.
July 18th is our 10th year anniversary. That's when this memorial was dedicated. General Colin Powell was present with our founding director, Dr. Frank Smith, on that very warm July day, and we dedicated this memorial to these American freedom fighters, and we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary with 3 days of activities. We'll have a prayer breakfast and reenactors and tents set up, and then on the 17th, we'll have an event at Arlington Cemetery, a sunrise service, and the 18th, event at the memorial, and then also at the convention center, we'll have a gala for descendants. We've had thousands of descendants who have come to us telling us, I have an ancestor on that wall, and we've archived a number of their stories.
And lastly, what are you hoping people know or remember really about Juneteenth as it's celebrated?
That marks the day when the mission of African descent soldiers in the Civil War was completed. They had performed their side of the duty. They'd helped preserve the Union and maintain the supremacy of the Constitution. And in doing so, under the banner of the U.S. Constitution, they had secured the blessings of liberty for themselves and their posterity, literally through this crucible for liberty, becoming the quintessential Americans.
Harry Jones is the Assistant Director at the African American Civil War Museum. Thank you so much for today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Remember with Tell Me More, the conversation never ends, and we want to know, how do you celebrate Juneteenth Day? What does it mean to you and your family? And did our visit to the African American Civil War Museum and Memorial help you gain a better understanding of what Juneteenth is really all about? To tell us more about what you think, go to npr.org and click on the Tell Me More page. You can also call our comment line at area code 202-842-3522. That's 202-842-3522. You never know, we might feature your comments in our weekly Back Talk segment. That's our program for today. I'm Cheryl Corley, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.